It was April, and my TV brother and I ventured into the basement to knock the dust off of some of our old comics. Little did we know the treasures we'd discover. So settle in for another journey into the psyche of two infinite children. We're so glad you're here to partake. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Adventures of Danny and Mike, the podcast.
Welcome to episode 24 of The Adventures of Danny and Mike. To my right, Mr. Daniel, or Danny Tamborelli.
Yes.
And to his right, Mr. Michael C. Marona.
Hi.
Who's tickling Dan, making him jump.
That was not a tickle. That was a pinch.
And I'm producer Jeremy.
And there's not even any photographs going on. I didn't pinch you at all during this photograph.
Wait, you...
It was one of our few.
I don't understand what's going on.
He pinches me when we take photographs.
Oh, right,
to get me to make a stupid face on a picture for other people.
Whatever you have to tell yourself.
Well, I mean, that's what it is. What else is it? Why else would you do it? Do you do it because you like to pinch me?
I think it's probably an uneasy way of like breaking silences or awkward moments, right?
There's nothing awkward about someone saying, hey, do you want to take a picture? And we say, okay, and then we take the picture, well, and then I get pinched, and I wince.
What? Well, but you've never met before.
It is
There's nothing
comedy,
awkward about
and
that.
And it is comedy.
Yes, it might be funny.
That's probably what it is.
But it has nothing
he
to do with breaking silence. Well,
I'm looking forward,
my fake TV older brother.
I'm looking forward to doing some conventions with you this year, so let's get on that.
Oh, God, yes, we should get on that.
That'll be fun.
That's so I can get pinched more. Sounds like
he's like the bruising. I can't take it.
Yeah,
my flanks. My flanks are so tender.
I'm getting flanks. I'm getting the side flanks.
You getting side flanks?
Yeah, front flanks.
You get just get some amoxicillin. That'll take care of that right away.
Kills it.
Wait, is that a brand you hate? Amoxicillin? Because that's just a generic.
I think it's just a
antibiotic.
It's just a generic antibiotic. Maybe it's
clindamycin.
Clindamycin? I don't care about either of them. Maybe they've been overprescribed at this point. I don't have enough information to have an opinion.
I wish you would have brought it to the podcast.
Zithromax is the other one.
Oh, God.
Z-Pak.
Would you just stop?
What, you don't have a stockpile of antibiotics like I do?
No,
just
I'm not
in
a
case?
Prepper.
One backpack full of antibiotics?
Oh, man. I was in Europe for 6 weeks. Keep that Z-Pak in your bag just in case, because you don't know what those people are doing. What if I got sick in Czech Republic? I don't know how their doctors are.
Then you
are.
Go to the hospital like anybody else. They have those there.
I got sick in Japan. I went to the hospital in Japan.
Exactly.
We know this.
I got ill actually every time I went to Japan.
And that's why I've only stayed in the airport and never went anywhere else in Japan.
It's awesome.
I'm afraid to get sick
No, you just got to get over it and then you have a great time. Each time I went from like multiple, you know, you just get sick and then you get over it and you're all right.
I got the shits.
In the meantime, they have the toilets.
What's like, the equivalent of Montezuma's Revenge in Japan? What is there?
Yeah, let's not start. in the meantime, the toilets plug in. They're heated. The seats are heated. Ooh. They have the bidet, robotic bidet. Like
but
I told you,
the squatty
like
potty that comes up.
Like I told you, Uncle Pat pranked me the first time we went to Japan. When we went to Japan at the YMCA, he was like, "Hey, Mike, come over here," and he squirted me with the toilet with the toilet bidet.
That's right.
Yeah. they're way ahead over there with toilets. And, you know, we've started doing that stuff over here. Finally.
No, we still use a lot of paper.
Paper towel tank tops.
No,
the
no,
Dan
no,
Tamborelli
no, no,
way.
No. You don't wipe with paper towels.
Toilet paper.
Unless you have nothing left.
Toilet paper tank
I guess
top.
We
that's
need
you,
sometimes.
That's you in an August.
Well,
like the
toilet
of,
paper tank
the end
top
of
never
summer
work
school.
Well.
Well, we need to revise
you
the...
You have to use the perfect, those like, the really expensive Charmin.
Yeah, the quilt with the quilt.
We need to revise the design of the channels. Tank top to go clear down, so that it's like a diaper tank top all in one. Sort of like an old school swimming suit for men.
No, the God. Super V-neck, like the super V, the plunging V.
the plunging V to my D?
Yeah, okay. It's kind of the muscle shirt.
What? I just wanted to rhyme, man. What's wrong with that?
Well, nice work. You did it.
I hope you had a good time.
Plunging V to my D.
America suffered because of it.
I don't think America's listening. We mostly big in Sweden.
They're big in Japan.
Uh-huh. Big in Japan. Who sang it?
Tom Waits.
Yes. Good work.
Also for
Jeremy, did you know that?
No.
No, I didn't. I'm not a big Tom Waits guy.
Get out of your own apartment if you're not Tom Waits guy.
We'll record the rest of the thing. You go.
I can't believe you said that.
Yeah.
But the only way I know the big in Japan phrase is Dave Hill did a show. A live show. That's how I knew Dave Hill, and it was amazing. About, you know, he's a really his band was really big in Japan, and it was no, they were playing crappy gigs here in the States, but then you need to go to Japan.
Yeah, like they played with Chounce like a couple months ago at Brooklyn Bowl.
Yeah, I mean that's how I would characterize. That's how I would say crappy. That's how I would say crappy.
This was 10 years ago.
There's 100 people in a what? How many person venue?
600.
So it felt kind of empty.
Yeah.
You think I could have brought the noise if I had?
I mean, we've been trying to advertise Thunder at all the Jounce shows, but no, they never show up. You never show up.
One of these days, you're going to hear the intro for Thunder.
I just want at one point to just have both of you at a Jounce show so you can do it, because I always ask both of you to come, and you never come at the same time. That sounded really bad, but I didn't mean
that.
Which
is true, though.
Still true.
Both ways. Well, I don't know. I guess we never really
tried.
Yeah, we don't coordinate.
Never tried either way.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Well, it's probably good. Well, Thunder, again, I've said this in the last one, but we're stuck on the artwork, the concept.
The album cover.
He wants lots of like horses, you know, like.
I want a single released by the end of the summer. Can we do that? Can you guys do that?
What? I don't know if we're like single type.
I'll produce it.
A single type band, you know.
I think we're more like an EP.
So then EP. That's fine.
Three song EP. You know.
That's great. I'll handle the artwork. You guys just handle the content. I want content.
Well, if you're handling the artwork, that does change things.
I think we actually hit peak content earlier this year, so we're on the downside of content.
Mm.
Well, then we should go through the archives and find that good content.
Okay, that's a good idea. That's a good idea.
We'll pull it out. And we'll do that.
We'll
for the listeners, I'm going to make this happen.
We're going to take old Elliott Smith songs and re-record them.
Play them backwards and put our own lyrics.
This was my plan anyway. This was just my retirement plan.
Speaking of it now, we do have recorded, yeah, somewhere some Thunder outtakes of Mike playing or I playing the guitar and Mike and I singing. But I'd have to dig deep for that. I don't even know when we did that.
You're a deep digger.
Well.
It's true.
Maybe you're right. Speaking of deep digging.
How deep is your dig?
You did some deep digging.
How deep is your dig? How deep is your dig? How deep?
Dick?
How deep is
dick?
Your dig?
You already know when I'm going to strike.
No, but you digged. You did some deep digging in your
in a deep old dig.
Family's basement,
digging
right?
Digging it deep.
Yeah, Dan found some good comics. Some good comics from Uncle Pat. Both basement action, or maybe in his case, garage.
Right. No, they were definitely basement.
Yeah. Dan went in his basement and found the big crate that his family moved, you know, came to Ellis Island in.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't come in a crate,
They smuggled extra.
My grandmother, they smuggled through. How many? Is it two?
It's three.
Is it two? It's okay.
It's two.
Three is
too many.
Good.
Too many.
No good. Mozzarella.
Hey.
You
can't be doing that.
You can't say that.
Mike and I can do it because
those are our names for each other. Yeah. You don't get to say that. Okay?
I have a little
those
mozzarella.
Those are our names for
you
ourselves.
You have a little mozzarella in you? How much Italian do you have in you,
No,
Jeremy?
I mean, literally, I've eaten mozzarella in the last 24 hours.
Doesn't make it okay.
Mozzarella.
Make it alright.
Dan, you were recently upset because of the Arby's commercial where they say...
Oh, I hated that commercial.
There's like a Giuseppe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's the Arby's makes an Italian sub.
Arby's.
And it's like, move over, Giuseppe, or whatever he says. It's like, that is such a racial slur towards Italians, and I don't find it amusing or funny. And I think that if you change that to
any other
nationalities, people would... consider it vulgar, but it's okay because it's an Italian sandwich with, you know, Italian delicious meats and cheeses on it.
Well, that's what happens.
Fucking Arby's.
Oh.
Then they're like, right. It's like, no, you know what? If I ate an Italian sub from Arby's, my dead relatives would come
rise
back and
up.
Haunt me.
Yes.
From just the, like if I ate at Olive Garden they would in rise, any way, shape, or form.
His dead Italian relatives would rise up from the crime scenes that they died at and come back and kill him.
I'm not even shitting you. I was
or Jersey Mike.
I was dating a girl in Virginia, and we were down there, and her mom took us to Olive Garden, and I didn't want to do it, but I couldn't just say no. And when we left the building, I'm not even kidding. I think one of my relatives punched me in the stomach because I puked. I puked up all of the food that I had eaten.
Including the endless breadsticks?
And it's like I walked out of the place
Including the unlimited breadsticks?
And I puked right next to my fucking car. And I swear that was my relatives being like, you stupid, stupid Italian son of a bitch.
Yeah, but...
But maybe it was just the breadsticks. Or maybe I was nervous.
Was that the first time you met her? The mom?
It wasn't.
Oddly enough, it was also an Olive Garden trip.
It was the first and last time I met her.
Right. Oh boy.
Not true.
Yeah.
Anywho,
I don't know.
That's what you get. That's what you get for eating shitty fake Italian food. If you're Italian, is you get something bad happens from your relatives.
I know people that think of that as real Italian. It's pretty, you know, when you're not
like the macaroni grill.
Yeah,
no, won't eat that either.
Why not?
Any of those places.
Why wouldn't you eat the mac? How about Pizzeria Uno?
Pizzeria Uno
outside of Chicago.
Yeah,
outside of Chicago.
Not outside of Chicago.
How about in Chicago?
Maybe once, just to check it
out. Yeah, but if you're in Chicago, why would you, you know what I mean?
Right, well, we figured that out already.
We
did a whole podcast about that, Jeremy. I don't know if you remember.
You may have been
cut in the face when we did the podcast, Jeremy.
I know, I remember. We were wrestling for dodgeball. Mike cut me.
You may have been bleeding.
Mike had fingernails like a child.
No. It was the edge of the dodgeball box. Yeah, it was the edge of the box. You remember.
Oh, I remember.
Always got to stay away from the edge of the box, Jeremy.
Yeah. It's not a problem.
It's like very Ian McKay.
But
we're talking about digging deep. Comic books brought a bunch. What a bunch of weird ones.
Basements, molds,
number one,
flooding.
Flooding.
My grandma's house is definitely prone to flooding.
Yeah, we had a flood but once, and it didn't affect the
value
box.
Of the steamer trunk.
That trunk literally has got to be 125 years old, and it's still intact, and it's been carrying, I would say, maybe 700 to 1,000 comic books in it.
But it doesn't move. I mean, it just stays in your basement at this point?
Yeah, it stayed in the basement for a while, and the basement flooded, and then it didn't penetrate.
It floated somehow.
No, it didn't really penetrate, because it's got feet, and it probably has like another like 2 or 3 inches before like the actual bottom is there. So nothing in there got ruined, but I mean, they're all my father's comics, and they're from like 1962 onwards to like the, you know, early mid 70s. And I have a bunch of them
from
like the mid 70s through the mid 80s.
How does he feel about that?
About what? Keeping them?
Yeah.
He's wanted to have them forever.
So you got to organize them then, right?
I bagged and boarded them when I was like 14 years old.
I remember, but that's a long time ago now.
I know.
Soldier, that was 20 years.
I know.
And how about just like ordering them and putting them in long boxes or something like that?
I know. I don't have them in long boxes. I have them now in Rubbermaid containers. Like the big like heavy duty Rubbermaid containers, and they're up. I know there should be boxes.
No,
there's no corner. That's why I have them in the middle like that, so they're not touching anything.
Just go buy some boxes. They're cheap.
Yeah. Okay, maybe I'll buy some boxes.
See, my dad had the excuse where he's like, "Oh, I put them all in my attic," and then his mom, my grandmother,
had some bats. Released some bats up there,
right? And he always said that, "Oh, there was some, you know, amazing number ones." But I feel like that's a common excuse.
Yeah. No, my father told me that
he had a Matisse in the attic. Original Matisse.
He had an Action Comics number one that he spent like, you know, $20 or $30 on in like 63, 64 or something like that. Wow. And he left it out, and my grandmother came in and saw that his room was a mess and was mad at him and took everything and threw it out. And, you know, so he blames...
What's that worth today?
He blames her. It's worth several hundreds of thousands of dollars.
What?
Hand
but I don't believe it. I feel like that was more of a ploy for me to clean up my room that day in particular.
Oh, the fake story that never.
Yeah, it's
happens.
Like, hey, you know, you want me to do that? You want me to come in here and you know, you better clean up all your stuff because yeah. I don't want to come in here and do what Grandma did to you. And he like, you know,
I don't know what happened.
He may have looked at my number one.
I don't know what
Shadow
happened
Hawk
to my Star Heart, my Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, Luke and Leia and Han. I don't remember what happened to that shit.
I had a whole bunch of figures when I was maybe seventh grade and decided that I was too cool for. Action figures. I had all these Marvel action figures and like Spawn stuff. I had all sorts of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided that in just to show that we were adults now and not kids playing with toys, we used to play figure baseball where we took a bat and we used to toss.
You guys are awful.
We used
people.
To toss the action figures and we'd hit it and see how many pieces we could break them into. And whoever was able to like
you just
dislodge the head, arms, the legs, they were
you
points.
Point. You just halved our member. You just halved our listenership.
What do you mean?
I'm frantically doing the cut motion across my throat.
I mean, I'm not. I got nothing to hide, man.
Saying that's just embarrassing, though.
It's embarrassing. It is because it feels like it's a little bit of like pretension in the fact that I'm breaking toys, I guess. But whatever. At the time, I thought I was being pretty punk rock, to be honest. It's like
there comes a time when it's just
fuck
stuff.
This. I don't want it anymore.
Yeah.
I don't care about it.
Yeah, I reject
G.I. it. G.I. Joe's breaking were the best though because they really you could.
As
really...
I said, I twisted out Snake Eyes something awful.
Yeah.
I think there comes a time when it's like just becomes stuff sitting around. Although you know, like I know people who collected all their lives, but I hit a wall at some point and was like, what am I doing with all this stuff sitting around? Although I did keep all my comic.
I'm going to rent it as a prop guy.
That's true. I wasn't at that point.
He's kept every wallet he's ever had.
A drinking glass. I have a whole closet full. No. But, yeah, I don't know. It just becomes stuff on top of stuff.
Yeah, well, where,
I'm sorry
where
that
your,
I brought it down,
Where are
guys?
Your comic books, Jeremy?
Actually, next time I go to Ohio, I have to get them out of my... My mom's been holding them for me in a Jeremy closet, we call.
Crap.
Well, nobody's called it that, but it's all of my like high school... CDs and
Lord, yeah, I got a lot of shit like that in the basement too.
There's a lot of you know all my yearbooks and I have two or three crates. I have shit tons of baseball cards. That was my thing more than comics, but I have two or three milk crates full of comics, bagged and boarded. I think Punisher number one in there, like my friend Daniel.
Let's get them together.
You have the first appearance of Punisher.
It's either the first or the first in something. I can't remember.
Let's get them together. Let's fuse them.
Let's see what's happening.
Me with my glow in the dark. Ooh, I won't say.
Ooh. Is that foreshadow? It's a little... Jeremy, Michael's showing foreshadow.
I can't do... I mean, you guys have known each other long enough. You probably should have seen that already.
Accurate. We've only seen Michael Stipes. He changed in front of us.
Us or just Mike?
Mike.
You're just adding yourself to the
I'm
to the
just
story.
Myself.
He's remembering. If you tell a story enough times, you can imagine yourself.
That's true.
Mike's like, remember that time I was buried in the ground for Pete and Pete?
Yeah.
He's like, what?
And I was wearing a plaid shirt.
A weird tattoo.
And boots.
Yeah. Steel toe boots.
Oh, boy.
You know, you should never trust a kid wearing steel toe boots. That's what I learned. Or that's what other people
let's get
it.
Let's get an epitaph going. Let's take a collection up for your headstone. You should never trust a kid wearing steel toe boots.
I should have never trusted. Yeah,
I should have never trusted.
No, but then we won't know who to bury with that. If with him, we definitely.
It's me.
Know who,
yeah. It's me. It's my. I'm the one dead.
No. You're the.
It's
your
epitaph. It's my
epitaph.
I get it. Guys.
Jeremy's off.
We started talking about mortality, and we've gone back
morbidity.
To it.
Morbid
mortality.
I said morality because of my recent brain loss.
Don't worry about it. It's just, it'll come back. More ginkgo biloba. It'll take care of all of that.
Work on what?
Ginkgo biloba.
Oh, I'm going to just do some crossword puzzle.
Sharpen up the old
noodle.
The old mind.
The old noodle.
I don't use ginkgo biloba. I just use yerba mate.
I just, New York Times back page.
There's a lot of shit.
I brought Man Bat number one here.
Which was nobody even
increasing the value of the apartment by how much?
$1.75, and there's a 15-cent comic, so that's a pretty good return on your investment.
Everyone's got a lot of shit in their parents' basements. It's time to admit it.
Yeah,
we
and
do.
If your parents don't move, you don't have to move the shit out.
That's kind of clutch,
move,
actually.
That's when you have to deal with your demons of stuff.
Or when you move.
It
might be time to consult that shit.
You know, I just moved and I didn't have to look at any of it. It's still.
Why didn't you take any of it into your new
CDs?
Why didn't you take any of it into your new apartment?
Because I don't have enough space for that. But my parents have a lovely garage that can fit plenty of stuff.
How much? I've seen the garage. It's packed to the gills. How much of that stuff in the garage is yours? You know, it's on the right when you walk in, right? You lift that door because that's where we got that amp from that one time
that
I had to use.
Correct. I have a bunch of. God, I have.
I mean, is the majority of a one car garage, you would say? That's the estimation?
It's. No. It's not that much. I would say of a two car garage, I take up about 1/6 of the garage.
Oh, it's not as much as I thought it was.
Yeah, it's not that much. Just big stuff. Like, I have amplifiers that I don't use and road cases that I don't use and a couple keyboards that, you know, when I'm an adult with my own house and I have a little my own little studio.
When is that going to happen?
When are you penciling that in?
You're 34 years old.
I know. Well, you know, 40's looking good.
Well, this is the problem of living in the city. You just can't have that sort of life. Well, maybe if you go out in the suburbs.
That's
but
true.
Not. I mean, if you're going to do that in Brooklyn, you got to
get a loft space.
All right. We're going to have to get some
more
listeners.
I'm not moving to Brownsville.
Or Soho.
Well, Soho's too expensive. At least Brownsville,
you can probably find deals. I bet you could find an old person in Soho that you could marry and stay on their...
veranda?
You could marry them and then stay on their rent control after they pass away.
After they mysteriously pass away?
Not mysteriously.
Are you saying you could...
Not mysteriously. It's an old person. That's why they would be appealing, because their rent would still be... There would be an old hippie whose rent was still like $700.
But there's a lot of legwork involved in this theory.
Why?
Well, you have to befriend them. You have to convince them that you're trustworthy enough to take over this basically golden ticket.
I think you just have to woo them, and that's it.
Well, I'm saying that takes work.
Hey, I was born with a tumor in my head. Let's have sex.
Oh, boy.
God, if I had a dollar, I'd have $1. That worked once.
Anywho.
Like how I just beat Jeremy again in FIFA.
I can't. Your defense is pretty stout. You know, I can't, like Drew, I can't get the ball down the field, so it's hard to score. Actually, this time we played, it seems a little more difficult. Maybe you've been practicing. I haven't been, but yes, you beat me. Who cares? Let's move on.
Gosh.
But you wouldn't play me in hockey.
Digging in the basement, you would find the old knock hockey board. Knock hockey board being so much fun, and I can't believe there weren't more chipped teeth in my family over the years.
Knock hockey?
Yeah, you didn't have a knock hockey board?
Is that the bubble?
No, everybody had a knock hockey board. It was like the size of this, for the listener, I'm pointing at his coffee table. It's like the size of this coffee table. It's got a little high lip on it and two tiny hockey sticks.
That's carom, right? Carom board? Or is that different?
And there's a goal, and right in front of the goal is a little square wooden block, so you can't shoot it right in. You have to angle it in off the boards. Yeah. You never played knock hockey?
Never heard of such a thing.
What's the matter with you people? Jeremy, look it up right now.
I have heard of knock hockey.
Jeremy, look it up right now with your image search, and there it is.
See, yeah, it's similar to carom, to a carom board. And it's spelled N-O-K. Yeah, that's kind of fun.
Oh, classic.
And you just bounce.
You're saying that sometimes they would pop up and you get caught in the face?
Yeah,
so
I just... Yeah, but I never... But I there were never really any injuries from that, even though we did play it with some gusto back in the day.
And you flick the sticks? Is that what's going on?
Basically, like, you would start, like, 1, 2, 3, and then if it was in your zone, you could shoot for it. Otherwise, you had to reach.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. I've been thinking about getting a pinball machine in here. Maybe I'll just get some knock hockey.
No, I think you should go with the pinball.
Get a pinball machine. Yeah, we like that.
You know what?
I'll make you a set of keys. So you can come over here and play pinball.
If you get a Street Fighter 2 machine, I'll teach you how to shadow throw.
I found a Simpsons one, but that shit's like $2,000. I don't think I can swing that. But I found cheap ones here and there. $400, $500.
I love that. That Simpsons game was the best.
I think.
If you can find the Ninja Turtles one,
Street Fighter 2 machine. How much that is, please, Jeremy?
Yeah, well, this has turned into just
speaking of fantasy. Now it's speaking of fantasy basement things that you won't find.
Actually, you know where I found them before was the Craigslist. I don't know if you've heard of it.
What's Craigslist?
What is a list?
This guy named Craig. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess you could find them around. They're usually all in Long Island at this point, right?
the first one that comes up
$140 for
like
Kiss.
Does it work?
Professionally restored, gorgeous condition. I can't believe that's
You should talk to Scott Bromley from the Comedy Button. Yeah, he does the shit out of that.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he's got a bunch in
it. I just noticed he was hand restoring one.
Terminator 2, Space Invaders.
Yeah, you can get all sorts of them.
Could you please,
if you like, you get
Jeremy?
Any
could you please
you
get the Street Fighter 2 machine that we've all been aching for?
That's true. Could you do that,
please?
Be great.
Here's the Simpsons 5000. Yeah, the problem is nothing. There's not a real good space for it in here. Is the problem?
We'll get rid of these. This vase of willow branches.
We'll just put it right there.
It'll be fine.
And the couch. We'd have to pull that out.
No.
Oh, yeah. No. Pull the couches out. Put a couple in. That way you can charge the local kids to come in here to Jeremy's Arcade.
Craft Brews.
Jeremy's Arcade. We're serving underage kids since 2016.
Stay out of the fridge, kids. Not for you. But maybe we'll kickstart this because I'm not paying $5,000.
I have records down there in the basement. I have an old coffee table. My mother, I guess, is at this point is like a prepper with the amount of Costco size food she has in the basement.
Yeah.
Or maybe she just put a dent in it because of Easter, made shells and things like that. So it cooked a lot of stuff.
Does she have a kitchen in the basement?
No.
That's a true Italian thing.
She's not kosher.
The two kitchen system where they have the kitchen downstairs.
It's not an
upstairs.
Old school. It's not an old school house. It's a new house. It wasn't built in like then.
Yeah, I figured then Staten Island houses would definitely have it.
Oh yeah, with the pillar in the basement like we have right here, which when you're a kid running around is so hazardous. Of course, you're gonna run and smack into that once or twice.
And you had friends that had parents that put styrofoam or just moldable things that you could put along that so you wouldn't smack your head into it.
Still hurts. No, I didn't have friends like that.
I guess that was a Jersey thing.
We ran firmly into them.
You guys didn't. Hey, in New York, the kids' parents, they didn't care about the kids' heads
much. They toughen them up.
In the suburbs, they're like, watch out.
No, that's funny.
You got to put a little thing on there. Tables that have those really sharp edges, and they put those little round-off things on them.
Yeah. Now in McCarran Park, you see all the kids, like little kids running around with like helmets on for no good reason.
Really?
They have them on. Yeah.
Okay, honey, you're going outside, but you got to wear a helmet. I'm not riding my bike, Mom. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, they're wearing a helmet anyway.
Doesn't matter.
There's a number of kids like that.
Kids I don't want to be.
What? Look at what's on top of your head. You got to protect that anyway from ridicule. From ridicule and also humidity, because I'm sure it fluffs up.
Yeah, I mean, that's the good thing about it. It's like I'm wearing a helmet in the summertime all the time. So I bang into shit like crazy.
On purpose.
Yeah, just to like be like, hey, look what I can do.
Oh.
Well, gents.
Yeah.
It's been a real pile of crap.
Barn burner.
Yeah.
Well,
we got more to come.
You guys have sucked it.
We have a really funny comedian coming up. His name is Mike Lawrence. You guys are going to love him.
He's got more beard than all three of us put together.
Oh, by far.
We're going to talk about some comic books, so stay tuned.
All right.
And everybody I'm talking to lives there. What's so great about it?
About Ditmas Park?
It's cheap.
When I was a kid, my best friend lived on Cortelyou. I remember that.
Yeah, that's near where I am.
This is a drivable place to live, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of garage driveways and garages over there, right?
Big ass houses too.
Are we gonna keep this NPR level of tone?
We haven't even started recording yet.
This is just the warm up guy. I'm the warm up guy for the podcast. The real Mike is.
Don't let him fool you. He definitely speaks like this.
The real Mike is going
to
come in.
I just love the idea that if they start hiring warm up comics to do podcasts.
Hey guys, thanks for listening.
The real Mike is in the studio.
Now, when they say stamps.com, you all cheer.
And we'll know.
I wanted to be the world's first cool down comic. Like, I just go out and make people really sad, and then they'll laugh at anything that happens. Yeah. That's literally how they booked WrestleMania last night. They made sure that every match had the most depressing outcome so that you were supposed to cheer the guy they wanted you to cheer at the end, but people just hated him anyway.
You had been so manipulated at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch all of WrestleMania?
Yes.
Yeah.
All of WrestleMania. All 5 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
How's your liver and bladder?
It was good. I pissed all over the show.
There you go. You didn't lose control.
No.
Oh, man.
What's wrong, Mike?
I didn't charge up my PS4 controller.
I think it's okay.
There's a brand we hate.
Why?
Fuck Sony.
Yeah, but it's either Sony or Microsoft. What are you going to choose?
Oh, they both fucking suck, man.
I like that I came in here and you guys were playing a soccer video game, and I figured those two things would cancel themselves out. One of the most fun things, and one of the least fun things.
Wait, which one is which?
That's my life.
Video games are amazing. Soccer is boring.
Oh.
If you lose, do you get to act out the gangsters that kill the team? Is it a mini game?
You should be able to unlock the. You should be able to unlock that stuff like Mortal Kombat.
Is there an unlockable 2 Escobars level?
It's been getting worse lately. Somebody like shot a player on the field recently.
Really?
Yeah, somebody. Yeah, it's been getting worse.
I didn't know how Brazil survived when they lost to Germany 8-1.
Oh man.
Like, I'm a Jew and I never saw people lose that badly to Germans. Like, it was so embarrassing.
Wow.
And I figured and what was amazing was that the Brazilians they weren't even mad at the Germans because they're like, no, you're really great players. We're impressed by your skill. They hated their own team. I'm surprised that they all weren't dead immediately.
There are a lot of Germans emigres living in Brazil could be one of the explanations.
Yeah. Because of that thing that didn't happen between 1941.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of blonde, blue.
Well, you read design. One girl's diary and you think everything is true.
I feel that the match was really, really painful. But you couldn't stop watching.
No.
Like the Iraq War.
Or this podcast.
Perfect. Oh, man. Well.
We started, right?
Oh, yeah.
When are we going?
We like to do that.
We like to surprise people.
We lulled you into a false sense of security. And
now what? You're going to strip them naked?
Well, no, we don't do that. That wouldn't be an appropriate thing to do.
It's raining
because you can't see it.
Yeah.
What's funny about that on the radio?
It's just the shittiest version of Guess Who. Does the naked man have a dick that is smaller than his confidence?
Yes. The answer is yes.
Oh, man. This is fun for me, guys. I used to love Pete and Pete. I remember the first time I came to New York, my uncle was an actor. And he went on an audition, and Hardy Rawls was one of the other people auditioning.
Nice.
And that was the first celebrity I met. And when my uncle told me that he wasn't a billionaire, like, I realized what show business was and decided to do it anyway.
Something else. Oh, you did it anyway.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's okay.
I was like, yeah. He doesn't even just get the part. That's Pete and Pete's dad.
Wow. Well, he was also the Maytag man. Yeah. That was his bigger role in life was the Maytag man.
Yeah.
I've noticed that the pendulum swings between a more sedentary Maytag man and a more virile Maytag man. You'll notice every so often the advertising firm changes and the man changes.
It's going to be amazing when it's like they have the first black Maytag man. Like, that's going to be like what they teach on like February 27th of Black History Month. Like,
to get that out of the
this
way.
This was the day the black Maytag man came to say hey.
Now let's learn about how Jaleel White made people realize that black people could be annoying nerds too.
He's a hero, and he had an alter ego.
It was super cool.
Extremely smooth.
What I loved about that was like that just showed how attractive he thought he was with the glasses off. But he just looked nerdier.
Confidence is inside, right?
Yeah.
Take those foggy glasses off, you. What's hiding behind there, Mike? What's hiding behind that beard?
What's amazing is like when you go back and watch all the Family Matters, you just realize it's about like a good, hardworking cop who loves his daughter and is trying to keep this like rapey nerd away from her, and then he loses in the end.
In the end.
Like, he just wants Laura. Laura clearly isn't consenting and doesn't want any part of it, and it's supposed to be charming and funny.
But it's just wearing down her resistance over a number of years.
Yeah, exactly.
That's must be very disheartening for Reggie Val-Johnson.
Yeah.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I never really heard about Family Matters like that before.
Oh, yeah.
This
guy obviously wrote his thesis on this.
I could darken up any sitcom for you. Mr. Feeney was definitely trying to fuck Corey. Like, that's totally a thing.
Mm. What?
I mean, look, he was his teacher in elementary school. Then he becomes, like, the principal when he goes to, like, middle school. And then he becomes the dean of the college that he's at. Like, the amount of ambition that he had to have just to follow this kid.
To follow him the whole way.
That's insane. And he lives next door to him. I can't leave you, Mr. Matthews. I long for your touch.
Yeah, this is creepy notes.
My VHS selections are pretty delicious at this point.
Hello, Mr. Matthews. Is it me you're looking for?
Don't you think a lot of Dan's interactions with adults in Pete and Pete were pretty creepy, of the creepy type?
Yeah, it is interesting that no one ever thought Artie was a pedophile.
I mean, he wasn't. Seriously, nothing happened.
I know.
No.
But I'm just saying, like, if you looked at that, I don't know if you could get away with that kind of adult-child interaction now on a show without people being, like, weird about it.
Yeah, he's in, he's in spandex tights. His belly button's always showing when he lifts his arms.
Do, like, autism awareness groups love Artie?
But he also hung out with a lot of weird...
I mean, seriously.
He hung out with a lot of weird adults.
Yeah.
This character, your character.
Yeah. I mean, who's weirder than
Inspector 34, well, Iggy Pop?
Nah. 34 is my favorite episode.
You like that
Inspector
one?
34, yeah.
Because the only wrong way to eat chicken wings or ribs is neatly.
Yeah.
Which is
fail.
It's a metaphor for life.
Because I'm a big Simpson guy too, and I love the Frank Grimes episode.
Oh, Grimey! That's so great. They go together perfectly. Wow, I never thought about.
It's just great that, like, in your childhood, watching like perfect people just do the right thing, realize that their whole lives have been a lie. Like,
wow, a Grimy, as he liked to be called.
Some people think that's the end of the show. Like that's the jump the shark.
That's moment. The last episode.
Yeah. Well, like in terms of like what the show became afterwards, because like it's the episode where Homer was just like an unrepentant asshole.
He was the most like one way he could be.
But it's such a great episode.
It is.
Like even if it is that, it's like it's almost worth it. Like it's one of the best lines ever when he goes, "You went to outer space.
You've never been." You've never been?
Oh, it's the greatest.
Yeah.
Nah, man. Who what are the other weird adults? Fucking.
He had all kinds of weird adults that he hung out with.
Well, the principal. Adam West.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a serious rivalry.
Yeah, definitely not a pedophile there at all.
Was he weird in real life?
No. No, he was. I guess I hung out with. Super cool.
He seems awesome.
I have a picture of me at like 12 years old, and like we told him to like put the
devil horns up. Oh, that's fucking awesome.
And it's an awesome picture. And I can't. And I don't think he really has any idea what he's doing.
He thought they were bad horns, bad ears.
He might have thought they were bad ears.
He's like, I have to copyright this gesture.
Dude, I remember I watched like the E! True Hollywood Story of Adam West and like Burt Ward. You know, Robin is like talking about how like there was one time when they were like practicing, like, you know, going over lines together, and Adam West is getting a blowjob in the Batman suit. It's just the fucking greatest thing. Like, that's like if you could capture 1966 in one photograph. It's just
running lines in full costume.
Yeah, that's the bit with that gut sticking out. That fucking little tum-tum, that bat tum sticking out. It's fucking, yes, that's good, old chum.
That's creepy.
Yeah.
Well, there was none of that going on Pete and Pete. I think he was past his prime at that point.
50 years later, the business has changed.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
What's going on there, Jeremy?
Oh, hi. Well, I thought that was a pretty good segue to go into a little judging a book by its cover. And oddly enough, there's a DC. Two DCs.
Jeremy's the worst at segues.
Well, I don't know. You had actually, two horrible ones.
But Jeremy also looks segue. Like he owns a segue. So.
Listen, little do you know, he to get around it. This place.
He rents it.
Yeah.
That's the saddest.
Oh, we got to go to the bathroom. That was me getting on my segue. No, we thought we'd play a little game here. We'd talk about some comic books since you're a big comic guy, right?
Yeah.
Are you?
Yes.
Okay. He's wearing a Flash t-shirt.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, we'll start with the Flash. Then. How about that? We're going to judge a book by the cover. So you guys are just going to look at the covers of these comic books, and then we're going to try to write the story. What do you think about that?
Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
This is Flash, number 52. Right, this is an old school.
Put it up.
What do you see?
Put it right there.
And for the listeners,
these are going to be on the old website. So if you want to play along, you can feel free to do that. This is an issue of The Flash.
And this is issue 52?
Yeah, it's old school.
This is issue 52.
Really? What year is that?
We're going to have to go deep
it's
to look.
It's 25 cents.
No, it's not number 52. It's number 215.
Yeah.
It's 52 big pages.
Oh, it's 52 big
Jeremy.
Pages.
Yeah. You got to look here. Where it says
because
number.
I know the Flash numbering, which was renumbered like in the 50s, and I was like, there's no way that was an issue 52.
Particularly because it's pages. 25 cents,
yeah.
too.
Flash so didn't start over tell. Until after Crisis on Infinite Earths in 1986.
Really?
Yeah.
That's some deep traction.
How many
right
reboots
there?
Have there been since Crisis on Infinite Earths?
Oh, man. With the Flash, there's been at least like four number ones, I think, maybe three. Well, there's that, and then they relaunched it with fucking Bart Allen. Then they relaunched it again with Barry, and now they're relaunching it again, I think. Yeah, there might be even one more. It's insane. It's the most ridiculous thing. They
New 52, it didn't make a...
Yeah, they keep relaunching the stuff because they think that new people will read. But when
they got a TV show now.
Yeah, but when they find out it's like volume 4 or 5 of something, they still get lost and they don't want to be a part of it.
And, to go backwards?
Yeah, and I think it's also like people watch the movies and the TV shows and they're like, I'm good. I don't need to read this shit.
Right.
And all you're doing is just losing the people that...
Oh, you're cannibalizing your own audience.
Yeah, totally.
Wow.
Oh, I mean, they sell way less copies than they ever have. You know, like the death of Superman was the death of the comic book industry, kind of, because you were able to fool people once, but then they're like, oh, this wasn't that good of a story, and he comes back, we're done. You know, they sold like millions of copies. And then they never do that again. Like, I think the highest selling issues now are like 150,000, 200,000.
That's crazy.
Yeah, they plummeted. Yeah. And people say it's the most popular that it's ever been. I'm like, the comics aren't. The movies are.
Well, this, being that you probably know all of these storylines, this might not work because you actually know.
I don't know this one. But the reason, and there were lots of comics to pick from, but the reason that I liked this one is because I always love when they like talk on the cover. They don't, that's a thing they don't do right at all anymore.
Right.
But he says, Flash is holding up Jay Garrick, who was the Golden Age Flash. And he says, "You savage, why did you have to kill him to get at me?" And I just want the villain to be like, "Yeah, that's why I did it." It's the most basic.
It's pretty obvious. It's pretty obvious.
Like, what's the villain going to be like? You know what? Yeah, you're right. I could have just killed you.
So,
but this makes it, you know, this makes it tougher for him.
Wait, Barry is clearly upset, right?
Yeah.
And he got his powers with a thing falling on him.
He got his powers when like a bunch of chemicals got struck by lightning.
Full of chemicals, yeah, struck by lightning, fell onto him. How did Jay Garrick get his powers?
I think it was like hard water or something. It's God, something.
It's
really,
always hard water.
It's some always dumb Golden Age bullshit. Like there's a Marvel character who is like the super speedster of like the Marvel Golden Age called the Wizard.
Oh, the Wizard.
Yeah, and his was that he was injected with mongoose blood.
I think Charlie Sheen read that comic book, yeah, and then he figured it out. He's like, but what's cooler than a mongoose?
You're either gonna get really fast or AIDS.
I think we should both go get mongoose. We should open up a mongoose blood shots bar. You know, like the new hot thing on the Lower East Side is bone broth. I think mongoose blood will be the next thing.
Is that a thing for real?
Yeah.
Bone broth?
I believe it.
Yeah, I think mongoose blood bone broth shots.
Okay, we have wheatgrass juice, we have some lemongrass, and we have mongoose blood.
And we have bone broth.
Is that legal?
It tastes so delicious, it allows you to forget that your parents haven't returned your text. You fucking loser.
Oh, wow. They don't even care if I'm dead in this
You
basement.
Bone broth drinking jabroni.
You brone brother.
I like that. Bone brother.
Yeah, that's what makes our heroes, is that they have emotions. Because when you put them up against the villains have emotions too, but those emotions are typically like the seven deadly sins, like pride and gluttony and slothany and all of those other ones. But these guys actually care about people, so that's how you can get at them.
Yeah.
By killing people they love.
Yeah.
Who came before them.
Yeah.
It's very relatable.
Yeah, it's like cancer for me.
And I'm pretty, I know that, you know, Jay Garrick was definitely around after this, like
in another form, right?
No, I mean, I wonder if he even lasts, like if he comes back in this issue that he dies in.
It must be because it says death of an immortal.
Yeah.
So, you know, if he's immortal, that's a nullity. It doesn't make any sense, but it makes me want to read more of it, which is why they probably put it on there.
That can't happen.
Yeah.
So I think in the end, there's a happy ending. I'm just going to go with that. You know, it's usually...
I don't know. It looks like all the pages don't stick together.
No.
Oh, boy. They're bagged and boarded, Michael.
There's no spotting or foxing.
Look at the next one?
Yeah, let's do the next one. This is also a DC. Action Comics. Number 391.
There you go.
You're going to be like Action Comics, number 15 cents.
lay it out over here.
So the bubbles are, "Dad, why you locked me in this lead glass booth? I'm sorry, son, but you've misused your superpowers, so I'm wiping them out forever with this gold kryptonite." And it's titled The Punishment of Superman's Son. Mm. Which I didn't know he had a son.
Well, you know.
So,
well, they did a lot of alternate reality stories and stuff. That was a big
thing. Wasn't What If one of your favorite titles?
Yeah, that's Marvel. And then later on, DC, they would call them, Elseworlds.
Yeah, Elseworlds. But those are the best.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Those are the best.
I love that they pretend that they're not all imaginary stories. D- this one's real, really but happened. This one's fake.
Yeah, the other one's really happened.
Yeah, I this one's just fun because it's like Superman, like that pose that he has. He's like really just shrugging and sad. Like he looks like he can't fit under the ceiling.
there's a definite shrug.
No, he's not.
So that means that he's not flexing. That means he's locked his son in the basement.
Yeah, he's not flexing on his own son. He's more like this hurts you more. This hurts me more than it hurts you.
I would love
even though I'm zapping
you. But there's
you
gold kryptonite. What's the deal with that?
It still hurts me more emotionally than it does you losing all your powers.
I would love if like
those are our heroes. They care.
The thing is, once he shows him the gold kryptonite, he's lost the powers, but instead he just puts him in this fucking case. He puts his son in a case. I would love if it just turned out that the son was gay and Superman was like, maybe the gold kryptonite will fix you, boy.
That's the type of stuff that was recently declared illegal, that reversion therapy.
Yeah, it should be. It's horrible.
Gosh, poor Superboy. I wonder what did he do to misuse his powers? How?
If you already don't kind of like vaginas, seeing one isn't going to change your mind. It's just going to seal the deal.
You know what? That's what's written on page 2 of this. It's funny that he said that. I can't believe you knew that.
This was pre-code, obviously.
What I would want to read in this is the letters pages, because back in the day, Mort Weisinger was the editor, and he was just like super surly with like kids who would
and
respond.
His response, yeah,
he was like a real prick about it. And I remember
they're very terse.
So he was originally feeding the trolls.
Yeah, he was the ultimate troll. And I remember I was working at LaGuardia at like 4 a.m. and I was reading a comic like on my break, and this guy came up to me, and it was Mort Weisinger's son. And he was so bitter about like how his father hadn't been remembered as much as he should have and the legacy that he built. And like, and then I went home and read about Weisinger, and apparently he was just like the biggest asshole ever. And the son wasn't that great of a person either.
I don't know why my dad's not getting more notice. Yeah,
carry my luggage for me.
Tell him about my father.
So why do you have me locked in this lead glass?
Yeah,
tube?
I would like to know what Superboy did. How did he misuse his powers? I actually want to read this.
Yeah.
It is intriguing.
I mean, that is the thing about these two covers, you know, because there is a story, it makes you want to see what's inside, and now they never do that. It's all just poses.
Why do they do that? Do you think it's just because they think that is a better way of grabbing people's attention?
Yeah, I think
this
it's
is too ADD. Like,
no,
there's
gets,
too much stuff
it gets in the way of
here.
The art. It gets in the way of the art.
Well, I think that's some of it, but telling a story, it makes art more artful, I think. But like the problem is that now it's like this theory that everyone's comic is someone's first comic, and you want it to just look like a boring first issue every time, but it just does nothing to... It's like there was a period of Spider-Man in like the mid-2000s where every cover was just him web-swinging, and you had no idea what the story was.
Well, what else would he do? He's the web-slinger.
He would like... Well, we have a Spider-Man cover, and
what do you expect him to?
It tells you what happens in the story, and it's amazing.
I wouldn't have been able to get as many comic books as I had if they were all the same like that. Like, that was part of like the fun of like going through and like looking at the cover to see,
and when
I want this.
Yeah, and when you look through issue by issue and stuff, and it's also the big thing they do is they often don't have the guy who draws the book inside drawing the cover, which really hurts the artist inside a lot of times. Because he's not as good. And, you know, you buy it and you're like, oh, man, I bet the art in this is awesome. And then it's garbage compared to, like, the cover that someone spent, you know, a long time on.
It's also another money grab with the variant cover.
Oh, all
of
that,
people,
too, yeah.
Of people buying this, you know, multiple copies. I realize I have 2 copies of the same, I think it's Heroes for Hire or something over there.
Huh. Just the same thing but different covers?
Yeah. No, it's not Heroes for Hire. It's something else.
But do they do that today? Do different people do the cover and the inside art?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they did it back then sometimes. Like, they would have, like 1 or 2 house guys, like John Romita Jr., but do a lot of them and stuff. But it was, like, more consistent with, like, an in-house style. And now it's, like, it's just a complete night and day difference. Like all of the Punisher comics that Garth Ennis wrote had this one guy, Tim Bradstreet, do the covers, and the covers rarely ever had anything to do with the story, and Tim Bradstreet only ever did the covers. When, you know, if you have a guy who's...
You feel deceived.
Well, it's not only that, but when you have a guy who's drawing the book for 30 issues, he should get some shine too.
Yeah, that's fair.
For the listener, shine is when you get some notoriety, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Thanks for clarifying, Mike.
I don't know.
Just, some respect. Yeah, that was it.
Sweet.
So are we presuming that young Superman... We never did figure out.
He does not get any shine.
It should be based on
adolescent,
the period.
Something adolescent. He's peering at girls.
Is that a 60s? No,
yeah, but no. His mom also probably died when he was born.
That's true. Know. Hey, Ma, the
it was
scene
an,
in Mallrats.
This is something I wondered.
It was an S section.
This is something I wondered about earlier. Could Superman successfully spank his own son? Would he feel anything, or would the spanking itself like shoot him away?
No, well, superheroes like Dragon Ball Z. Hurt each other.
But I'm saying like Dragon Ball Z, how they like knock each other through mountain after mountain after mountain.
Yeah, I think if he wanted to just give like a stern pat on the butt, he could.
And that would hurt. And that would hurt the kid.
Yeah.
Well,
The kid has a super ass, though.
Just when that happens, it's going to be a bunch of earthquakes, you know.
Yeah.
In India, is usually every time that happens, I blame it on Superman spanking Superboy.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
That's what happens. Yeah, because it's what are you going to do with all that force?
Whatever. They don't read comics, so it's okay. We're going by Zack Snyder rules here. If we don't see them on screen, we don't have to care about
them. Doesn't happen.
They should all die.
It never happened.
Yeah, that movie is fucking horrible.
Oh, man.
I haven't seen it.
That's really bad. Okay. Batman kills lots of people. Stop. He shoots them.
Stop. With a weird voice.
Stop.
He shoots them.
Stop it. I don't want to know.
No.
Are we closing the book on Action Comics?
Yeah.
All right, here's the next. This one's going to be a little different. This is we're moving to Marvel, and this is Ghost Rider, number 15.
And I figured we should have one that is no story or anything, just a picture of Ghost Rider.
This is my fave.
And this is your favorite one?
I mean, this is my sole contribution to the pick so far.
Does that glow in the dark?
We're gonna find out. No. It would say.
I'm not sure he got the glow in the dark version.
Yeah. It would say on the cover, wouldn't it?
Yeah, probably. So that's Nicolas Cage.
he draws too. That's awesome. That is sick. That's sick that he got to do the cover and the inside of the.
Mm-hmm.
That's a classic Ghost Rider for you.
Mm. He's just flaming on.
I think you can. I think when you're a comic book head, you can tell what era the comic book is from by how much it costs.
Well, that's a huge thing. The lettering, even the insignia
of the Marvel.
Yeah. Oh, there's so many. Yeah, because Marvel's logo has changed since then. DC's logo has changed a bunch of times. You can tell by a ton of things.
This is early '90s.
Yeah.
This is early '90s.
They don't even put like. The way that covers look now look nothing like this.
How so? There's talking?
Well, one thing that they do now that I do like is they often do have the credits on the front.
So you know who you're getting.
Right.
Well, maybe it was just Tex who drew this and he didn't do the rest of the comic.
Yeah, he was working at the time on this, though. I think Mark Texiera...
Is Mark Teixeira?
Yeah.
My least favorite Yankee.
Yeah.
They all? Your least favorite Yankee?
Yeah, that's true. I hate them all equally. I wish Ghost Rider would just ride around the infield, like, killing them all.
Well, maybe that's what this episode's about, this copy. I think so.
No.
He's not wearing Yankees hats, let me tell you.
Well, it's a punk rock advertisement is what it is. It's got the chains and spikes.
Yeah, but...
He had the greatest superpower ever.
The vengeance stare?
The penance stare, yeah. What it is when he looks in your eyes...
You're judged by...
No, you feel all of the pain you inflicted on others.
Other people?
Mike, you're wearing the same jacket as Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
Me?
Other Mike.
Yeah.
Mackie, Tex.
Oh, now Mike Chang, is busted inside, which
Chang.
Is... I don't know if we're allowed to do that, but it's grain. Okay. Yeah. That's fine. That's fine. We're working with it.
No, I want to see the date.
What is the date?
July 1991.
Nice.
Nice.
I was 9 years old.
So what's happening inside since you're peeking?
A lot of booms.
Has the show already started then?
The show,
the shorts.
The show had started. The show.
Oh, wow.
We
started in 89.
Oh wow.
Right.
I think
89.
Actually,
so I've known him since he was 11 years old, yes, and I was 7.
And actually, yeah, one of my finest memories of 1991 is running lines with Dan Tamborelli while he gets a blowjob in the lumberjack hat. I'm trying to concentrate.
I wasn't confident about the size of my penis, though.
Do you guys have the nicest fans? I can't imagine them being terrible. Like, I bet they're cool people.
Yeah. They're all pretty chill.
They're all very nice.
It's a certain kind of person, you know.
He's trying to say on the autism spectrum, but there's a lot of people.
Sure, yeah.
Dude, I think there's some.
That's what he said.
And you might have to be with Artie. I didn't even put the two together.
Or pedophile. Right? Because
he wasn't. I'm just saying that people would see that.
If he was
now.
A pedophile, he wouldn't have left.
Yeah.
Ooh. Or he was a pedophile and he had to leave because someone was going to tell.
Yeah, that literally, like, you know, I was 4 when my parents divorced, but when he left you.
Mike, give me your hand. I think it does glow in the dark. You feel that?
I think it does, yeah.
You feel that?
Yeah, I think it does.
I thought you guys were sharing a moment, honestly.
No, my parents divorced when I was 12, but I feel you. I totally feel you.
Yeah. Was that weird to be like acting on a show with a married family while your real family fell apart?
No, because like the family was so weird.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The regular, whichever one was the real family was so weird.
Yeah.
The one that I portrayed was weird, was normal, but weird. You know what I mean?
Yeah. How many people with petunia tattoos have you met?
Well, so many.
God. And they all think they're the only one?
Yeah, and I have to let him down easy. You know? Like, oh, no, it's crazy. Huh?
No, he doesn't.
I don't. I actually have like a couple pictures on my phone. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Check out this one.
Yeah,
like one in particular.
Yeah, there's gorgeous ones.
Perfect.
Yeah,
replica.
There's jailhouse ones and there's ones in between.
Yeah, that's true. The jailhouse ones are pretty cool though too. I did this last week. Still scabby.
I knew that the next sentence that was going to come out of his mouth was, "It's still scabby."
I've been saying that for a long time too. I use that phrase regularly.
I knew he was going to say it's still scabby.
Well,
but it's clearing up. It's clearing up. I'll just say that. We can move on.
Nothing's clearing up.
Are you going to go on to the next comic?
Because I don't think we had a good backstory for that one. So
we could go in the closet and look and see if this goes in the dark.
I think maybe that'll be our photo op at the end. All right,
he's producing on the spot like that. So, he doesn't say much, but when he does.
Yeah. This one's a beaut. This is Marvel, The Amazing Spider-Man, number 33, February.
The greatest comic book of all time.
And
I can't believe that.
Mike.
It really is.
This is the final chapter. This has Spider-Man in the grips of some sort of sewage grate. I don't know what it is, Mike.
Was
that the arms of what's his face?
Well,
it's not Doc Ock.
He does battle Dr. Octopus in this. This is issues 31 through 33 are considered like the pinnacle of Marvel Comics. Steve Ditko, who I think is, you know, he's the first Spider-Man artist. I still think he's the best, just brilliant. There's like a 6-to-8-page sequence in this comic where this heavy piece of machinery is on top of him and he lifts it and rises above all. And it's fucking beautiful, and I'm almost crying now talking about it.
Wow,
that's how emotional that comic book is. But this introduces this is when he first goes to college. What it is he needs some serum to cure Aunt May, who's dying because she's really sick, and you know he fights the master planner, who turns out to be Doc Ock. Doc Ock, you know, knocks him out and pushes this large piece of machinery on him, and he has to lift the machinery. He fights all of like the master planner's goons and, you know, prevails. And it's fucking beautiful. It is everything that comic books should be, and everything that they weren't in Batman versus Superman.
Wow.
It's scathing. Scathing reviews.
That is perfection right there.
The box office, though, right? Like, it's doing really well, which baffles
Yeah, and Donald
me.
Trump is going to get the Republican nomination. Yeah. Don't trust people sometimes.
Yeah. Fair enough.
You're a Ditko guy or a Kirby guy?
I'm a Ditko guy.
Nice.
I think Kirby's fucking great,
I can
too.
See a I can find, like, I can see a Kirby face from across the room.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, the broad.
Yeah.
The broad features.
He drew the ugliest women ever.
You didn't
They were
like
all the, just pug ugly monsters.
You didn't like the way he drew
Oh,
them.
God, no. They, you look at them and you understand why they called women broads.
Wow. Funny enough, that's a word Mike used to use a lot.
Yeah, I'm trying. Yeah. I gave it up.
You switched it for floozies?
No, I just tried. I haven't watched Goodfellas this year. And
yeah. I watched Goodfellas with like really like Italian like friend of mine who, you know, it was like his favorite movie. And he got so furious when I made fun of like how bad of an actress Martin Scorsese's mom is. And he's like, that's his fucking mother. She's special.
What's this?
You know what? He should probably.
She's not very good.
He should cast.
She's not very good.
He should cast her as the woman who painted over the Jesus fresco in the church in Spain. Did you hear about this?
Yeah.
Did she like try to repair it?
And then it just looked like the goofiest thing ever.
Yeah.
That's what she did to that movie.
I think.
That was bad.
Ouch.
You gotta make fun of my mom.
The hoof.
He also showed me.
Solo contento.
He showed me The Godfather, which I'd never seen, and when Marlon Brando like falls in the field of oranges at the end, I just went. And it's,
you didn't find that funny either. Did
he
you?
Laughed. Oh. That broke him. I was so proud.
Because until then, he was on edge.
Yeah, it was tough. Like he made me spaghetti to watch The Godfather.
A little mood what music,
a,
huh?
What a dumb wop.
Oh, hey,
that's my
boy.
Favorite racial slur.
Hey,
we're both Mick Wops.
Yeah.
I boiled some potatoes so we can watch The Quiet Man together.
Jesus.
I can't think. I don't know how that would translate to all the other cuisines and exploitation genres.
Officially, we're out of comic. I mean, we're not, but those are the ones we're going to talk about. But I feel like it's a disservice we don't talk about this one, which is the Marvel Comics Howard the Duck, with where he's interacting with several well-known Marvel Universe people.
That's a great book.
But I feel like there was different Howard the Duck ones too, right?
This is the original. This is Steve Gerber and Gene Colan.
This is Howard the Duck number 10.
Yeah, this is considered a part of like, you know, the Howard the Duck run. Gerber's the guy who created him. I'm a Gerber baby. That's the name that I give his fans. I'm also a burn victim. That's if you like John Byrne, but realize he's a terrible person.
He usually has a cigar. There's the cigar.
Yeah,
I see the cigar.
I see the cigar.
Which, once again, wouldn't happen now.
No. Ducks are not allowed to smoke cigars in anything.
Marvel banned all smoking. And it's funny because Wolverine can still like cut the hearts of like 100 ninjas, but he can't have a victory stogie afterwards.
Gosh, someone's got to really get in there with that comic book code.
Is that new?
I know.
Is that new?
That's like within the last 10 years.
Oh, what if he uses?
I mean, so Nick Fury's not allowed to have one.
Kingpin always had like that stick of the cigar, which I loved.
I work on like network TV too, and they won't.
Donald Trump is right.
Any sort of smoking.
Son of a bitch.
I mean, I think Donald Trump is winning because of like the PC backlash. Like, if you call people racist enough, they just stop caring about it. They're like, all right, so I guess I am. And now I'm going to be as much as I want to be. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Wow, we have to hope we outnumber those people.
Yep.
Wow.
And fight to the death.
No, I mean, I'm not. Okay.
What would you, for this, it's okay.
We could challenge them to a soccer game so they fall asleep.
I mean, I'm going to be really upset if there aren't at least assassination attempts.
So if Donald Trump was a comic book with just the whole thing, the GOP race, and he comes out and he wins at the end of the comic book, do you burn it?
Yeah.
Yep.
I feel like you just have to.
I'd like to believe that.
What was the question?
I know.
The question was just if you'd burn. I mean, I guess you would all burn a Donald Trump comic book, but I'm just saying, like, maybe at the end of the series.
I just wouldn't buy it.
He doesn't win.
Yeah, why are we buying this?
I don't get the whole burning books thing if you purchase them. If you steal them and burn them, then that's okay. But if you buy them, then it's like you bought it.
Yeah, why would you do that?
Because it's very hard to burn change.
Yeah.
It's really hard to burn change. It takes a lot of heat to melt them down. So instead, you just burn the paper. No?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll go back to my hole, guys.
It looks like you've been burning the paper. You've been burning the paper at both ends there, Dan.
Is that a fat joke?
No.
You're so infuriating these days.
I don't know, man. You have like a nice juggalo's physique.
Doesn't he? Yeah, like a freshly
I don't put the paint on until 5:30 though.
Yeah.
I think that as a little kid, you wore a jacket, and now your body just is one. It's nice.
It's cheap. Yeah, I don't need to wear jackets. It could be 40 degrees outside. It's fine with me.
You're fine, right?
Yeah. Insulation, bro.
I guess this is an advantage, but I do get him paper towel tank tops in the summer.
It's only an advantage in, like, colder climates. It's not an advantage in July.
You should travel.
New York City.
You should travel seasonally.
Certainly not an advantage.
You should travel seasonally, like to the latitudes that suit you.
I'm doing the opposite of whatever the geese are doing. They're flying south. I'm going north.
You just grew up to be fat cop. Like a sketch that reminds us of a simpler time where cops were known for more than just killing kids and getting away with it.
They were known for being fat. Donuts and being fat.
Yeah. What a fun time.
That's true. Yeah. I'm glad I can make people remember that.
Officer Fat Fuck.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have a badge, though. If I had a badge, then I'd really take fat cop to the next level. I have an uncle who is a fat cop, a fat NYPD cop.
Yeah.
So that's it. I base some of my actions off of him.
Are you going to name him? Don't.
No, I'm not going to name him.
That's good.
We don't name names.
We don't name names here.
I'm saying, because I'm going to go up to every fat cop in New York City now.
He's retired.
Are you related to Danny?
He's retired and he has a different last name.
Tamborelli
is a fat name. You don't want a thin Tamborelli.
No, that's true.
A thin Tamborelli. That's a real metaphor for something, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'll show you a picture of my father.
I paid 200.
You can see there's
75 pounds for each syllable. I like it.
It was worth it. And it was worth every penny.
No, I'm like a good 60 pounds shy of that.
Okay.
Yeah, so you get something to hold up your end of the bargain.
Yeah, I'll get to fill into it still.
I'm like 245 now, and I'm just like a big like tall guy, but like I talk about being fat on stage, and people don't realize just how like fat I am. I think fat's a feeling too.
It is. It's also a state of mind.
Yeah.
And that sweet beard does a lot to, you know, cover up stuff that I don't have a sweet beard. So I get these chin pubes here to try to hide what's going on, but I'm not fooling anybody.
For the listener, they only serve to draw attention to the pack of Franks that occupies the bottom of Danny's chin.
Wait, it's not a pack of Franks. Hey, it's just like
you don't think I wish I could tell people I was a drummer and they'd automatically believe me?
Look at my van. Look, I have a van.
I always figured the drummer was always fat because they're just the one who's like, I just want to sit down the whole time.
Yeah. But they work a lot.
Oh, they work a lot.
Yeah, but that's the funny thing about them. They have small arms and legs, but they have a huge gut.
Yeah.
I think you're kind of...
I mean, I'm generalizing, sure.
Think about
guys like Vinnie Paul from Pantera.
It's good because 4 out of 5 fat drummers have petunia tattoos. So you're doing all right. They're all the ones.
That's true.
Score.
It's true. But they're all in different places. A couple of them are, you know, back tattoos.
They nicknamed their dicks Smiley Strange.
When it cocks to the side, it is Smiley Strange.
Fanfic. Curved dick.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we're waiting on all this really sexual fan fiction, Pete and Pete stuff.
Has there been a lot?
No, but we're waiting for it.
Yeah.
We're still waiting.
Any moment now, there will be a Twitter with a Tumblr that pops up.
No, you think if it hasn't happened by now, it's not going to happen, but...
I mean, you were children,
but
so
he
that's
doesn't.
Good.
I'm still holding out hope. I mean, I know there's some weirdo pervs out there.
Yeah, but like with the adult characters, maybe. Like Michael Stipe's like ice cream salesman, like him and, you know.
Mr. Tasty and Ellen?
Yeah. Ugh. Was she? No.
No.
She's too young.
Yeah, you know.
I'm shutting down this whole conversation.
Yeah.
Shut
speaking,
down.
Yeah. Speaking of segments,
and the last thing fan fiction people want is suggestions. They're like, "I'm leaving the tapestry here. I know what I want."
That's true. I don't need guidelines.
Well, give them to us. We got some weird pictures of us as like Japanimation characters that popped up in the last week or two. Did you see those?
No.
Are you off of Twitter yet?
No,
he's weaning himself off of the Twitter.
Not yet.
Social media thing.
Has anyone ever said like watching you guys was like the last happy moment of their life? How many times like when they compliment you, people, you just realize like, how sad they are?
Yeah, it happens.
I've watched every episode 20 times. Oh, this is about you. This has nothing to do with me anymore.
It could be about all three of us.
Yeah.
In certain situations.
What if it's not about you and they were just there for the adventures of?
We'll find out with the live show how many people come to the live show.
What's the live show?
Oh, yeah. May 21st, we're doing the NYC Podfest.
And where's that going to be?
It's going to be at the Cake Shop. Wow, look at this guy.
At what time?
Pulling plugs. 8 o'clock?
I can't remember. I knew it was somewhere downtown. But I
remember, you're going to have even less energy in front of a live audience.
Oh, man, you should hear him in front of a live audience.
Oh, I fade into the curtains. I got curtains on curtains. yeah.
The Wizard of Oz. He's the wizard.
I think I ordered a burger.
I think Cosby plays your monologues.
What, to calm people down?
His cool down is just Mike talking.
I actually was the inventor of the cool down slice, which is after you go out for dinner on, you know, you're walking around Greenpoint, and then when you're on the way back home, you pass Carmine's, which is now closed, but you could still maybe fit another slice in there, and so you have a cool down slice before you go back home.
And
there.
I've taken it to another level. Just
with
walking
warm up,
down the street
with
to
a
see,
warm up slice.
No, you just you know you're in a mood. It's a nice day. You're hungry. You go get one slice. You keep walking. You know there's another place a couple blocks down. You go on your little pizza tour, and each one is a cool down slice. You get like 3 blocks, and you're tired from walking. You get another cool down slice.
Yeah, I don't.
Then
I
you
think,
keep going.
Yeah, if you're tired from walking, I think it's time to call 911.
Hey man, you can walk a lot. It could be like at least a mile down the road.
Yeah, but at that point it's downhill and you're still having trouble. It's time to call 911. Get the oxygen.
I have that life alert.
You the bracelet?
Necklace. No, it's a necklace.
Oh, it's a necklace.
Do you really?
It wouldn't.
I'd believe that.
Wouldn't you want to have that at all times? It's just like an extra. It doesn't. Why does it have to be for old people? It could be for anybody. Just you wear the pendant.
That sounds
you
like
spend the money.
That sounds like an argument. This sounds like an argument for never toilet training your kids. It's just investing in Depends.
I always wanted one of those commercials just to be the woman to be like, "I'm falling and I deserve this."
My husband said I was wrong. What? No. Well, if the husband's there, then obviously he could call 911.
He's bowling.
No, he just dropped her and then went bowling.
Oh.
He physically just dropped her.
That's all. No, because you would, in the cutaway, you would see his feet leaving or the bathroom door swinging shut. There would be too much. There would be a giveaway. There would be some sort of indicator that somebody else was there and not caring.
All I'm saying, guys, if like something's happening on the street, you can talk to someone and hear them right before you get robbed. It's just like, give me your money. Life alert. Bam. And you know, you're hello. Lying on the ground. Hello, can you be of assistance? Yeah, I just got robbed.
Hello, OnStar. It looks like you're
yeah,
not
it's
inside.
Your own
it looks like
OnStar.
You're not inside a car. It looks like you're lying down in the middle of the street. Can I connect you with somebody?
Is OnStar still a thing?
I'm sure.
I remember
sure.
They had those commercials and Booger from Revenge of the Nerds played the Joker. Right. He must have been like, "Hey guys, I got the part of the Joker." In an OnStar commercial.
That's okay. You'd probably be happy.
Yeah.
Hey, Mark Hamill does the voice of the Joker a lot.
Yeah, best voice of the Joker.
I'm saying, what's up with that?
He's amazing at it. They're doing the Killing Joke now. I don't want to see it. I don't care.
I noticed that they're doing the Killing Joke.
Yeah,
now.
Tell original stories. It's
what about Batman in Year One? Don't you think that's what's going to come next?
That already did a couple years ago.
What?
Yeah.
And?
Michael?
Benjamin McKenzie from the OC voiced Batman. Yeah. And Bryan Cranston.
Oh, it was animated?
Yeah, Bryan Cranston did.
Oh, no, I meant the live action.
Oh, no, but the animated ones.
Okay. Because you were talking about Mark Hamill doing...
Yeah,
animated.
So that's why I brought up cartoons.
It made perfect sense.
AKA
to me.
The dad.
I understand where you were going.
AKA the dad from Malcolm in the Middle.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Among other things.
Yeah. Oh, he was also the dentist on Seinfeld. And he voiced two Power Rangers in season one.
Which two?
Not two monsters. I don't remember which ones, but not Pine Octopus, which was my favorite. He was a half pineapple, half octopus.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't get on the Power Rangers train. I don't know why I didn't. It's just, I know it's like in the right age. Maybe I was just like a year or two too old.
But if you pass it by, you can't go back.
No, it's...
And we're probably, me and you are probably the same age. 33?
Yeah, 34.
Yeah.
There's no
See,
way. There's
that
no
one
way.
Year makes
it does. The portal is closed.
There's no way.
I was too into Voltron as a kid, and I didn't like it. I felt it was a total rip on Voltron.
Too organic.
Yeah. I mean, that's just where my headspace was at 11 or 12. I was like, this is like Voltron. Fuck
I was
that.
I was He-Man, then Ninja Turtles, then superheroes, then nothing else ever since.
It seems to have served you well.
Not a G.I. Joe guy.
No, because like,
I twisted my snake eyes until he came apart.
It was, I did that a few times too with the rubbery legs and shit. Yeah. Well, the problem was like no one ever died. It was supposed to be like, you know, like the battlefield and like the parachute thing, you know, the robots were the only ones that survived. I mean, the only ones that were killed. Like I always imagine like so many like
casualties.
Well, so many people probably signed up for, you know, the service because of G.I. Joe and then realized that bullets will kill you.
Well, that's what I hate about those video game commercials like that too, like when they're all like, this is a perfect day, playing Reed, and they're like happily shooting people. Nobody ever dies in any of those commercials ever.
No,
they're shooting at everybody.
Yeah.
It's a misrepresentation.
Oh, not like the A-Team.
Well, it's amazing.
Well, that was also fucking amazing. Yeah. The A-Team probably shot more rounds than any other TV show ever.
Most rounds expended with zero deaths.
Well, I always loved like when you watch like if you're watching TV with a bunch of friends who know nothing about like video games, and there'll be like a trailer for a video game and like the first 10 seconds look legitimately cool, but there's some kind of cheapness in it that already lets you know that it's a video game trailer. Like, what's this for? And it's like you hear one of the same five Canadian voice actors that's in every fucking video game. You're like,
aww.
No, it's a video game. It's nothing real. Don't have to worry. Nothing to see here.
Oh, like it's not a cool movie or a trailer for something.
Yeah, because they're like, oh man, that I want to see that. And then the second that
Oh, I got to play that to see that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to take 70 hours.
Yeah.
Oh.
You have to sword people in the neck.
Yep.
To hear them say that phrase.
You have to unlock the ability to sword people in the neck.
Man, it was a simpler time back in the day when you just got to listen to Duke Nukem say, I'm going to rip off your head and shit down your neck.
Yeah.
Did he do that?
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Imagine it was like old video games weren't, you know, like some of them were good, but a lot of them weren't good, and they knew that, so they just made them hard. Yeah. Like, well, we can't give you
about he's talking about Zaxxon.
Yeah.
He's talking about Zaxxon.
Was that like that? Zaxxon?
That 3D, it was like one of the first 3D, 3D games. It was impossibly hard to fly over the wall.
Mm-hmm.
I brought it up before. If you've listened to the show, you'll know that this is an unending obsession of mine.
I didn't realize it either. I must have glazed over the fact.
Have you ever
over
gone
23 episodes that I never heard you say Saxon before?
Have you ever
gone wrong?
Have you ever gone Zax on, Zax off?
There's a first time for everything.
Yeah,
go for it.
Right now.
Go for it.
Zaxxon, Zaxxon.
That's fun, right?
Yeah.
That sounded so emotionally draining.
I could do it again. I could do it again.
Happy time. Do it in a happy way.
Oh, fuck you.
Just one.
Zach's on, Zach's off.
That's nice.
How's that?
How about it? Do it in an informative way now.
Zach's on, Zach's off.
You must have been an actor.
No, I watch a lot of infomercials, though.
What's your favorite infomercial?
Currently?
Yeah.
The Ninja.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. Bullet. No, the Ninja Blender. It's like, we for breakfast, I had a blender smoothie. We put another blender inside this blender and blended it up. And
be careful, because there's glass particles and plastic in
it. But the Ninja chops them so fine that they won't even hurt you, and you can digest them. Yeah.
I like the Protector. It's the little way you can hold your shotgun on the side of your bed. Just in case. Just pull the shotgun up. Those are some of the greatest commercials.
Comes with a free Toby Keith CD.
What channel are you watching that shows a Protector commercial?
I bet that's History Channel.
I mean, it could be, right? History Channel. I could be on tour with the band in the Midwest. I'm not sure.
They're attempting to wall off that demographic.
Dude, one of my favorite shows, it's so bad, but it's like hilarious, is Top Shot. It was like a sniper show on History Channel.
Judged by Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah.
Was Gina Davis doing some arching on that?
No. But it's it's like the most manly, like, it's just like 12 like military dudes, and it's all these like competition shit. But then they make them say like the regular reality show stuff, like, I'm not here to make friends, but none of them have the least bit of charisma because they've all watched people die in front of their eyes.
so they're reciting lines.
Yeah. I really would not like to go home today, but you know, I have seen the end before, and it is not pretty. It's just it's the grimmest. And then, like, so they'll do these challenges where they have to shoot stuff. It's like, you know, they have to shoot like 10 like pickle jars from like, you know, 200,000 yards or whatever, and then they'll show like the pickle jar exploding in slow motion.
Everybody loves that slow-mo blow up.
Do they run from station to station with the guns in their hands, which I always find weird?
That's American
Gladiators, I think.
Which I loved, assault. That was my favorite thing.
They definitely don't have guns.
Well, not guns. They had tennis ball guns.
No, but I feel like I watched that before, and they like go from like.
I think we should all have to do biathlon. Place to place. I think skiing and shooting are the two most important things you should be able to do. Biathlon.
I've skied once in my life. I've shot guns twice in my life.
There you go. So you did 1.5 biathlons.
Never shot a gun?
No.
I've never shot a gun.
I'm really anti-gun.
I've never shot a gun, and I have skied like once or twice.
You know who has shot a gun? Batman in Batman vs. Superman.
Oh, man.
No, even though his parents were murdered by them, he still fires them and kills people.
It's weird.
He still wears a pearl necklace.
You become
even
you know,
though his
your
mom was. Yeah.
Poor Batman.
Poor Batman.
I proposed to my wife after Ben Affleck was announced as Batman because
you thought it was over?
I thought that was like Batman saying to me, "You can leave now. Go face the real world. And when it hurts you, I'll be back."
So did the voice going down not do anything for you?
Oh, the modulated
modulation,
voice?
The modulation Ben Affleck voice?
Oh, it was bad. He wasn't terrible, like, but the whole movie was, and he's now played two murderous superheroes. Like, he threw a guy in front of a train in Daredevil, and then he, like, shoots people in Batman. And
come on, that's not the real reason you don't respect him. The real reason you don't respect him is things like The Town.
Town was okay.
So then it wasn't The Town.
It wasn't The Town.
It was this movie now.
It wasn't him playing a Latino person in Argo despite looking nothing like a Latino.
It wasn't Geely.
No, he plays a character named Tony Mendez in the Best Picture winner of like 2012, I think, or 2013.
Yeah. Argo?
Yeah.
Maybe
they
you've
just
heard of it?
They just forget to change those names, though. When they send the script around, those names are...
it's because it's based on a true story. Like,
oh,
that was the real person that he's playing.
Well, then that's probably good because the real person probably is in danger.
They show the guy at the end of the movie. Like, they show, like, the actor next to, like, what the person looked like. And the real guy just looks like Luis Guzman.
Oh.
He just wanted to own a nightclub.
And
you know what?
And he was busy. Guzman was busy, and that's why they took out.
Yeah, I'm sure he could have done it. He just lost an audition to Hardy Rawls.
Oh, my goodness.
We're going to get there. We'll get there.
Mike, you got anything you want to plug?
I have my own podcast, Nerd of Mouth, and that airs on the Cave Comedy Radio Network. I have an upcoming Comedy Central Snapchat series called You're Wrong, where I shit on your pop culture opinions. and that'll be fun. And then I was a writer on the newest season of Inside Amy Schumer. And that premieres on Comedy Central April 21st.
Nice.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, thanks for coming over here, man.
Yeah, that was really fun, guys. And everyone should read Amazing Spider-Man issue 33. It is the greatest issue of all time.
We'll be giving those away. We'll be collecting them. Yeah, and that's my pop. My pops has like about 100 of the original.
So everybody go to his dad's garage.
Yeah, no.
Show up.
First appearance of Punisher. Got it. That's a humble brag.
That's Amazing Spider-Man number 129.
129.
Yep. Written by Gary Conway and drawn by Gil Kane.
Well,
I wish I could be as good. I got to look up.
At anything, let alone comics. Yeah, just at anything.
Yeah. Damn.
Well, thanks so much for hanging out. It's been fun.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mike. So there you have it. As we close the door on this adventure, we remember the lessons we've learned. Danny hated a brand, and its name was...
Arby's! Giuseppe, my ass!
Mike Lawrence almost shed a tear, staring at Amazing Spider-Man number 33. And Superman spanking Superboy would hurt, and possibly cause earthquakes in India. But most of all, remember that your fake TV brothers are here for you, and will always have your backs, adventure after adventure.
The Adventures of Danny and Mike stars Danny Tamborelli and Michael C. Marona. The show is produced by Jeremy Balin and Marianne Ways. This podcast is part of the Feral Audio Podcasting Collective and can be found on their website at feralaudio.com. For more information on the guys, visit our website at dannyandmike.com. Also, look us up on Twitter, at Danny and Mike with the and spelled out, and on Facebook at facebook.com/The Adventures of Danny and Mike. Thanks for listening. Feral Audio.